This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today, I have with me Karen Johnson. She's from,
Ottawa.
I wanted to say Toronto, but I knew that was not right. Ottawa, Canada. And she's been on the show, I think last year. And through our email contact, she's had something happen in her life that we thought would be really interesting to share with you listeners. As you know, we've been going through the elements of the teaching practice. And one of the things that is so remarkable about this particular experience of Karen's is that it shows very clearly, for me anyway, the interaction between several of the elements of the practice and how they can interact, stimulate each other, and stimulate us in our own studentship. One of the things that I really emphasize for my students is that this is a practice. It's not something that we just learn and do and then we don't learn anything more. The classes are just the beginning. It's like, as a master, I give the tool to the student and then they are able to practice. The more one practices, Reiki will take you to the place where you need to learn and to be guided in going deeper into oneself or into the interconnection of life. And this particular process I call studentship. And it takes us as a commitment to practice and a commitment to be aware of ourselves. And in that, Reiki gives back to us lots of feedback. And it's up to us then to make sense of that feedback and to carry it into the next cycle of learning. My experience with Karen is that she's very good at this particular piece, which is studentship. And I want to welcome you to the show, Karen.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I think let's start with your sharing your story, because it allows people to put you in a context of who you are and how you came to Reiki.
Sure. Well, I came to Reiki somewhat reluctantly. I was going to see a naturopathic kind of person for treatments, and she was also a Reiki master, and she kept telling me that Reiki would be great for me, and I kept telling her that I was perfectly happy, and I didn't need anything. And then one day while she was treating me, she as part of the treatment, she was massaging my abdomen. And there was this really great warmth and energy that felt very sacred to me. So I sat up on the table and said, "What is that?" And she replied, "Well, that's Reiki. That's what I've been trying to tell you about." And it was obvious that I needed to experience it in order to jump in. But at that point, I signed up that day for my first degree class. So that was the beginning. And I realized in listening to various other interviews that you've done with other people that I didn't at that point think to myself, "Oh, this is it, I'm going to be a master." I didn't even see anything beyond getting the gift of being able to treat myself and to maybe put my hands on friends and family, but even that was a little bit of a distant dream for me. I didn't even think that I could, so I was just hoping for myself. At that point.
Great.
Yeah, and then I started going to these student gatherings that my master had, and I was the only first degree at these gatherings, and every so often things would be said, and then somebody would say, "Well, you know, we have a first degree student with us," and I'd think, "What on earth are they talking about? Maybe I should do this second degree thing." And so I did, but at that point again, I thought, "This is it, this is all I'm going to do," and so I went along somewhat reluctantly all the way, and then there was a time at which I saw that I had within me the ability to be a master, but really really, now that I look at this last few months of experience, I think that I'm just growing into my mastership now, and it's been almost 9 years, so it's, I may be a slow learner, I'm not sure. But I feel like I'm really saying a yes to it now on a different level than I ever did before.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, that's not being a slow learner. It's recognizing that there are stages of our commitment, but also stages of studentship that lead naturally into the next one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of a gift that you weren't willing or able to just, you know, go to the end of the rainbow, so to speak, but were willing to just do what was in front of you, take that, and then take the next step when the next step was shown to you. And I think that's, for me, a part of my calling you a good student. It isn't that other people are not good students, it's just a very interesting demonstration of this continuum that Reiki brings us to. And I think that in our modern life, you know, we're kind of used to, what do you want to be when you grow up? And then, and then mapping out the steps to get there, rather than simply taking the steps and going along a path and being able to discover each step as it comes up.
And I think I see a pattern in my life where whomever is most important in my life at that time, I want to be just like them. So, you know, at that point in my life, Lynn was the most important person, so of course I wanted to be just like her.
Right.
So I've always doubted, on some level, my true mastership until, you know, I think now I'm walking towards mine as opposed to mine being influenced by someone else's.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's really great because in my observation of masters, and in myself also, I realized that the first 10 years of after being initiated as a master, there is this process that goes on that is exactly what you're expressing. It's like at the 10th year, very often masters that I've initiated will come back to me and say, you know, this has been a great learning experience. I now feel like kind of an adult.
Yeah.
And I can, you know, I feel like I'm a master in my own right. And this little piece for me is incomplete. So we talk about that. And, you know, there are always, you know, resolution to these particular things that weren't quite right. Like maybe they were offended by something that I had said during their master training and they never brought it up to me, and we talk about that, and any misunderstanding is, you know, worked out. Or perhaps, like in one instance, this man of a master that I initiated always felt that part of the money should have gone to his first and second degree initiating master because in his circumstances, she really supported him, and I was out traveling a lot. And, you know, that was handled then, and that 10th year. We came to an agreement, and I gave part of the money that he had given to me 10 years before to this master, and that felt good, actually, for me also. It was always in this kind of realm. So there have been a lot of different things that have been happening over the years, and it's great for you to have seen this for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good work. Oh, great.
So, yeah, so now things are moving seemingly very quickly, although if you look at what perhaps other masters do in terms of treatments and classes, you know, mine would seem very slow, but I'm so delighted at the last month and a half. It's been absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. So what kicked this off, do you think?
Well, I mean, I haven't, I didn't try for this to happen, which is the most amazing part of it. One day, a young woman phoned, and she said, I want a Reiki treatment. I saw your name on the Reiki Alliance website, and you're the only one that has a 613 area code, so and asking if I could come. And I'm thinking, isn't this wonderful? Because I just said to myself, you know, a few weeks before, I think I'm ready. So it was like a confirmation from above that this was indeed ready to happen. So I was delighted. And then I had this thought of supporting you through the next year, and thinking, well, I'll give 20% to Phyllis, and that will be helpful to her, and maybe it will help to encourage me to continue on. And so I told her a fee that I wouldn't have normally said. I said it was $45 for a treatment, and then I had to kind of adjust myself to that and think, oh, I've never charged $45 before. That's a lot of money. But I felt comfortable at that point. And she came, and I was worried about the state of my house and what it looked like and whether my dog or cat would disturb the treatment, and maybe it should look better and maybe it should be better. And she came into the room and said, this is a beautiful room. And I thought, okay, Karen, let that in. Like, it's a beautiful room. So all is well. And I gave that treatment, and she was delighted with it, and off she went. And I thought, oh, that was good. Now I'm exhausted by this experience. I'm sure this was a one-time kind of thing, and I'm going to be embarrassed to tell Phyllis that this is the only time she'll get any money. And then another person called and said, I saw your name on the Reiki Alliance website, and I'd like to come for a treatment. And I almost said, but you phoned last week. But indeed, it was another person. And since then, she'll come for her fourth treatment tomorrow night, because she believes four is an important number. And she came up with that, not me. And she brought her husband last week, and they're going to study with me in 2 weeks, their first degree. And so things are happening. And that first lady came back for a second treatment. So, I mean, I've done 7 treatments, or will have done 7 treatments in 5 weeks in the next, you know, as of tomorrow night. And that's never happened before to me. So it's all good.
Sure is. And what I see and have felt about this is that this connection between money, spiritual lineage, and treatment, and then, of course, moving into class and class form and initiation and so on, it's just, you know, this whole process is sort of illustrating how all the elements are interconnected. For me.
Well, it made it easier for me to charge $45 to think that 20% was going to you. And it seems to have made it easier on some level for people to keep coming to me because of that. I don't know whether that's really true or not, but I like to think it might be related. You know? And so I've had to leap over feeling like my house isn't good enough. Just another note to the listeners, like, I'm physically disabled, so keeping my house clean and neat and having the energy to do all of this is a challenge. So thinking about what people walk into and what it looks like has always been a stumbling block for me to offer people that I don't know treatments or to open my house in this way. So this is a newer experience for me. I used to rent a space and pay the money that I would get for the treatment on renting the space in order to not have people in my house. So it's been a really good way to open myself up in that way. So I see it as a big change on many levels. To believe that I'm enough, and that what I give in terms of the treatment is enough, because my Reiki master is very energetically connected and would be able to say that she saw things while she was treating people and heard things while she was treating people, seemed like the student body around her were of a similar abilities. And I don't see when I treat, I don't hear when I treat, I just treat. And so it's been also a walk towards believing that what I have to give is enough, and that you don't have to kind of wrap the treatment as a present with all kinds of extra things either, that I just put my hands on and that's what I do.
Uh-huh.
So that's yet another wrinkle to it all. So I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let's see. It's really interesting to have a master who has acquired, or Reiki has awakened, or maybe amplified gifts that she had already. And it's interesting to have you be able to separate yourself enough to know that it can be a different experience for you as a student.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, like I've always felt less than, and that's come up as people have come through the door the last month, that they've chosen me for a reason, even if it was just the reason that my area code is 613 and they could reach me. And that I'm enough for them, that's why we're together. We're together to learn together, and somehow they've been teaching me as much as I've been treating them. And so the second woman that came through the door gave me $50 for her first treatment and said, "Don't worry, I don't need any change." And so that was a lesson as well. I'm thinking, oh, what does that mean now? And you know, and so I just carry those questions. And I'm realizing as I continue to treat people that I do have gifts to give them that are natural to me.
Uh-huh.
And that aren't related to seeing or hearing things while I treat, you know?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so I realize that I'm becoming already a little bit more able to know when to speak those and when not to, and I usually phrase it as a question. You know, I've noticed that everything that you've mentioned is on the right side of your body. Maybe you'd like to look at that. Now, for me, that's not rocket science. That comes to me naturally, but maybe that's one of my gifts, and I just haven't named it as that yet.
Right.
That I recognize that or see that as people share different things.
Uh-huh. Well, do you feel that, well, you would have no idea, but my observation of you is that because of your disability and your dedication to being able to accept yourself, how you are, and grow into this body, even though it doesn't look like the majority of other bodies out there, that keeps you in your body in some way, and so you're much more aware of body, you know, body things, you know, like how people are in their own body, so because of your own connection with your body.
Well, maybe.
Does that make sense?
I know that, like, because I've had a long journey into my body and feeling peaceful about being here and residing here, I've often thought that may be a hindrance in treatments, because I don't feel a lot of heat through my hands. I don't have a lot to report back to myself when I give a self-treatment or back to other people most of the time.
Uh-huh.
And so I've often thought, oh, come on, get in that body so you can feel all of this. But I think in the last few weeks, I've just thought, well, this is who I am. This is who they've come to see for whatever reason. And what I can give is enough. And I've started to recognize these other things that I can reflect on and ask questions about that might help them in their journey. And in some ways, even though I would like to feel more, I feel like not feeling anything or very little means that I don't get in the way of their treatment, and I don't have a lot to reflect. So I remember one time I treated another master in the city. We just exchanged treatments, and as she got down on the table, she said, "Well, if you have any messages to give me at the end, I'd be glad to hear them." And I said, "I don't get messages, so just know that before we start." And that's been like I'm feeling more comfortable with who I am.
Uh huh.
Trying to say.
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. So, in your tithing, so you've done, would you call it tithing that you're doing with me?
I suppose
we can leave that word out because it's somehow loaded also.
What I see it as is, I see it as an energetic exchange in thanks for all that you've been for me, and a thank you for all that you've given. Like it's just a thank you.
So you've sent, I think, three PayPal.
I'm not sure
And I'm just wondering if the feeling that you have, if you could describe the feeling around that. This is, I'm just interested.
Okay. I'm always excited to send it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And I'm, and it feels good to share it. And I'm now not feeling embarrassed by the amount because at least it's a little bit more than I would have expected. So it feels like it grounds me actually, and that's a new word that I wouldn't have thought of before just now. It feels very grounding.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm thinking, without knowing what's coming out of my mouth next, but I feel very solid in doing it. I feel like I'm standing straight in some way, shape, or form, and really being a part of something much bigger than myself.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so that's new.
That's great. And we've always had a fairly close connection over the last 12 years, I guess it's been.
More or less, yeah. I think. So, I'm not sure how many years it's been, but...
Well, we can say 12 or so.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, do you feel like this is changing our how we are in relationship? Is it moving something?
It definitely is moving something, but I'm not sure if I could put my finger on right now how or what. Wish I could.
Right.
But I think I'd be making something up if I tried.
Right. No, that's fine. I just wondered, because it feels different to me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. I mean... when I first began to receive donations from people, which came spontaneously from people's hearts, and I was just so touched, and they had thought of something that I had never really thought of, like the additional expenses that would happen through my treatment process and so on, but also I'm not going to be working for the next year and a half, so that's really interesting also. So I'm just in the space of going, well, can I receive it? And then I started to receive things from different people. And sometimes the way that it was presented, or the way the money was presented, or like I got this one donation from a woman that I thought that I would never hear from again in my life. So that was really interesting, and it started to shift my relationship with her to another level, you know, and seeing that there was a more global relationship that we had, and obviously that she carried, that had more faces on it than just a personal relationship. You know, that she's also a Reiki master. She also recognizes me as the lineage bearer, and she also somehow has other relationships with me that I'm not aware of. So it allowed me to see this multidimensional process, and I feel like that happened with you also, but in a more subtle way. Yeah. So I found it to be really interesting and a real practice for me in my studentship to receive, but also being really grateful for the practicality of it all.
Right. Well, I had never thought until I got an email from someone else, from Elaine actually, that said, this is, and it was a letter from Susan that said, you know, this is, could we do this? Could we support? And it was like, yes, I can do that. And then, yes, I can do more of that, you know? And so it's all been so good.
Right. Good. So now I'd like to shift to another piece, which is, I would be interested in, of course, we can't talk about it because it's kind of in theory. But I would be interested to see if when you teach your class that there is a different feeling within the actual class. And I'm wondering if you have felt the treatments that you've said that you feel more clear about asking $45 for your treatment because some of the money goes to me. I'm wondering if there's another part of that energy stream that comes and manifests in a different way through the treatment.
Yeah, well, I'll be interested to look and see in the classes how I feel. Certainly, I haven't taught first degree for 3 years when I look back, and so it's been a while, and so I'm both very excited to teach it and a little bit nervous, you know. So now the treatments, it's felt like a learning experience and like I'm walking towards something new and different in it. So it'll be interesting to see how the classes feel.
Great. So, where do we go from here? There was one other thing that I wanted to ask you. Do you have something that you are up for saying? Part of it is my brain sometimes now, with all the chemotherapy, is not making connections as quickly as I used to do. But also, there was something else that I wanted to go to about treatment.
This is something that probably I haven't even brought up with you before, but I've been thinking about in the last couple of days, is, you know, should I know more about anatomy? Should I, you know, do more towards preparing myself to treat people, just a whole bunch of questions that have been coming up in me around opening myself beyond, you know, my friends, family, and maybe someone who comes for one treatment and then decides to take a class. There's been a another awakening within me about treatments, and it's that, and it came from one listening to you with somebody else, to just say that treatments are good, and that people don't necessarily have to jump to a class right after them, and so I'm learning that as well.
Well, I think that that is that assumption that people will automatically want to take the class because it's somehow monetarily efficient.
You know, like they
don't have to pay for treatments, but it's really a different experience to have a treatment from someone else, as we all know. So why wouldn't people want to pay for those treatments, and in the face of their own insecurity about, will this be the same, will I get the same benefit, and so on. And I just wonder about that question, do they get the same benefit? And I'd love to ask my grandmother this question, actually.
Because,
you know, of course, having daily Reiki treatment and having the capacity for me right now, and I'm sure this is also true for you, in your situation, is that to have Reiki for oneself and be able to treat oneself, you know, and give comfort physically, emotionally, and all the other levels, is really good. And when I receive a treatment, and I'm receiving 4 or 5 hands-on treatments a week right now, they are all different because all the people who come are different. So I have a different kind of relationship with their treatment. But the result of those treatments has been profound.
Okay, yeah. It's been a while since I've been treated by someone else.
That's
stuff I need to take as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, and what I found is that some of them become much more physical, and others are more energetic, like the treatment I get after the day that I have my chemotherapy feels like it's more on an energetic level, that the power of Reiki concentrates in my energy. And so often I go really, really deeply into some place, I don't know where, and I'm it arouses in me a desire to want to know where this place is that I go. And, you just sink deeply into kind of an unconscious state. And what is that? And where am I going?
How do I get there without chemotherapy?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. Well, I do, you know, it does happen on occasion with other treatments, you know, before this, but it's been very profound and very healing. And then some other times it's really about physical energy and about my physical body and, you know, the pain, sometimes pain that happens or whatever. So it's very interesting. So I just feel that there is a difference between our giving ourselves treatment and the treatment that we receive from others, and that's an important thing to remember as you are discovering, you know, people coming to you for treatment and then deciding, well, they can take a class, or maybe deciding, no, they just want to receive, like, a whole series of treatments from you.
Mm-hmm. And one girl, the minute that she mentioned, you know, I might want to take this someday, of course, then I'm into, oh, yes, that would be a very good, you know, instead of just letting that statement be, and just letting it nurture inside of her, I'm almost saying, yes, yes, that would be a very good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a natural teacher. I am a teacher. And in my day job, that's what I do. So I'm very much more comfortable teaching in the class.
But
than
could
I am
you,
right now giving treatment.
But could you see treatment as another way of teaching?
Okay.
Well, I thought that was kind of brilliant, considering the state of my mind.
Yeah, but no, that's a good way of me to look at it. And I think because I haven't had, it's been a long walk from, you know, being with my Reiki master and hearing all these people who may not share with the client what they've experienced, but afterwards say, oh, I saw this and I heard that and da-da-da-da. It's been a long walk from there to just accepting the fact that I often barely have sensation in my hands, and yet I still give a treatment that people come back for more for it, you know? And,
yes. Uh-huh.
And the fact that I could be teaching, I thought I could be teaching if I had all kinds of information in my head, but maybe that's not the teaching. You know, if I saw things, heard things, and then decided at the end, well, I'll tell them this, or I'll ask that, or that would feel like teaching to me.
Uh-huh.
But maybe I'm teaching in a very subtle way, because Lord knows that Reiki comes through me in a very subtle way.
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, this is good. Okay, I'll continue asking that question.
Okay, cool. Great. And the other question that you had about maybe you need to have other knowledge, you know, like physical anatomy and so on. I think, you know, I've always been into exploring this part about creating a public practitioner program, which I think is not ever going to happen, but it's very... It's elusive on one hand and also very seductive, because it just seems like that would be a really easy and exciting thing to do. But you can do your own preparation, and I think now that you're asking the questions, maybe this is time for you to start exploring. However, what's important is to remember that you don't need it.
Right.
You know, yes. The verb is very, very important. If you are interested and you want to know what's going on underneath your hands out of your own human curiosity, that's one thing. Or to feel like you could be better prepared to, for instance, if people started to come to you with a certain kind of illness and you wanted to be more prepared for caring for them, it would be good to have some kind of working knowledge about, you know, where their spleen is or where their liver is or what could happen or what the interaction is with the endocrine system or, you know, whatever. You know, it's there. This is all interesting things. And of course, you won't have enough medical knowledge to, well, you could, but you wouldn't want to, like, delve into it so much that you end up being very detailed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, see what comes to you. Maybe there's an evening class or a workshop for the weekend, you know, where you get to know your body or something like that. Or I don't know, you know, just see what arises for you.
There is a natural healing clinic place that does anatomy classes just down the road, so I've been thinking maybe I could just take, you know, the beginning of that. And
But
it's funny because the same thing that you just brought up came to me. I can't do it from a place of I'm inadequate without it,
right,
and therefore need this.
Right.
But I have to do it from a place of my treatments are totally adequate. Reiki flows through me, and the person, you know, receives this treatment, and it's and they're the ones in the driver's seat to take it where the energy, where they need to have it. That's what Reiki does.
Right.
To this would be just a good knowledge to have. The last time somebody was on the table and said, I wonder what that little pain is, I said, well, I have an anatomy book. We could look at it after and see what my hands are on right now. So that was my way of dealing with it at the time.
And that's a very good way.
I don't have that knowledge, so maybe we could look that up after.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great, because, you know, it goes to show people that there's other ways of addressing our human body other than the allopathic sort of informational base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that this, for me, has been a very interesting dynamic for myself, because I'm learning more about my body and being in my body more than ever. And one Yutuan called me, I don't know, about a month and a half ago, right when I started my chemo, and she said, "You know, Phyllis," in her own way, I can't really repeat it the way that she said it. She said, "You have to stay in your body, because if you don't stay in your body, the chemotherapy is not going to do as much."
Mm.
And that wasn't that interesting.
That's very interesting. Oh, I'd love to meet that woman someday.
Oh, you really must. She yeah. comes to the east of Canada every once in a while.
Yeah.
But,
I wonder, because, I mean, I have medication in my body to deal with the cerebral palsy. I wonder, oh, that would be very interesting.
Yeah, so she said, you know, use your Reiki treatments to keep yourself in your body. And I thought, oh, one of Wanya's crazy, you know, little ideas. And then the more I thought about it, the more it made sense, until I just thought, oh, that's really a wise thing to say. Because, like, I now go into the clinic on Wednesdays. Last week was my 8th treatment. And in the beginning, I mostly saw people like myself, fairly together, going in for treatment. Some were very, very long, which I don't think I could, I just couldn't imagine handling, sitting there for like 5 hours or 6 hours a day, you know.
Yeah.
I went in there for an hour and a half or two, and that's like way more than I want to be there. And I have seen, though, over the last 8 weeks, some people who really don't feel like they're very much in their body. And you wonder how much the chemotherapy is really working. So it brings to mind this really interesting question of form and essence. Like, so we have our physical body. If we lift our essence out of our physical body enough, then is it enough to treat only the physical body?
Oh, what a good question.
I mean, you know, there's really no answer to it, but it's a very good question. And feel like that's really, you know, the questions that Wanya was addressing when she told me, you know, stay in your body. And,
yeah, I'd want to get out of my body, like, okay, you know, but that's really good. And it brings to mind something that a physiotherapist said to me a few months ago that really, really has helped me. I'm learning Pilates, so she's teaching me Pilates.
Oh, that's great.
And as I'm doing them, she's saying, now you don't have to use your neck muscles to move your foot. And I think, oh, really? Because with cerebral palsy, I don't know why I do it, but apparently everyone does it when they're weak in one area. They engage a whole bunch of muscles to move the one muscle that they're weak in.
Right.
And then afterwards, now my question to me, quite a lot, or a question to myself is, do I need to use all those muscles? And since then, I've gained a lot more energy for my days, because I realize that if I walk slowly, I don't engage my neck muscles, or I don't engage extra muscles. But if I walk more quickly and think that it's life and death that I get there within 30 seconds, that I engage a whole bunch of muscles that I don't need to use. So it's been a really interesting journey that way.
Wow, that is fabulous.
Yeah, and so now I just, you know, when I get kind of upset about something and think I need to get there really quickly, I can stop myself and say, how many muscles would it take to get there, and do I need to use them all?
Uh-huh.
And the answer is no, I don't.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Great. Wonderful. Well, it would be interesting to send a distant treatment, or if you got treatments from other people, to really concentrate on allowing your muscles to act independently.
Yes.
you know, give them permission to do that.
Mm-hmm. If they could, that would be, like, amazing. And I'm learning that they can. But it's a slow journey, but I've never thought of sending Reiki to that. That would be...
Yeah, it would really, I think, help it out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm learning a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a great... treatments are a great teacher. Mm-hmm. And the assumptions that we have about treatment, I think, are a little bit like, well, they can stimulate learning, but mostly it's because of learning about our unconscious assumptions and then trying to give them up so that whatever is happening for real is really happening. So, you know, I don't know, somehow in my experience of treatment, I had this one woman who had cancer, and it was her second time with breast cancer, and she felt that the Reiki was giving life to the cancer, and she didn't want any more Reiki after a while because she didn't feel comfortable with it. And she didn't feel safe with it. And if I realized way afterwards, if I could have somehow released her from her assumption, what would we have learned about her condition and about her whole healing process that we didn't even address because her assumption blocked, you know, the next step of understanding.
Yeah.
And I personally, at that point, because this was in the late 1980s or early 1990s, so it was a while ago, I was uncertain myself. So I couldn't say to her, well, actually, that's not how Reiki works.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, what I could say is, you know, Reiki brings balance to the body, and it maximizes our healing potential and minimizes those things that aren't necessary. That's
right.
What it feels like to me. And so minimizing other, you know, all of your muscles having to automatically go on red alert.
Yeah, and they did all my life.
Yeah, exactly, because as a child, that's a natural, it's sort of a natural thing that your body does, and now you have to take that and unlearn that. And, you know, that's a part of the treatment process, is being able to see what our assumptions are and then unlearning them. So, you know, my treatments have been amazing in that respect. You know, like, just, you know, again, seeing how difficult it is not to have expectations, we do anyway, and then they become assumptions. And then if we can let them go, we see what the treatment is really doing.
Yeah, and this whole journey of the last month of accepting all these people into my house and
right.
Charging, it's been a whole bunch of assumptions that are falling that I didn't know, some of them that I didn't know were there.
Uh-huh.
And
exactly.
Others that I did and have been trying to kind of leap over, but you know, when people arrive at your door, you kind of have to leap over them and let them in.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So it's been great.
Right. Well, it's an amazing journey, and it's wonderful this element of treatment can bring us such results when we think, well, is it really doing anything? You know, all these, you know, daily self-treatments. And I feel like I'm reaping the reward of a lot of self-treatment and a lot of Reiki treatments. I didn't know what the result would be, but now I feel like I'm getting the result here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been an amazing learning for me, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I would say you're a great student.
Well, I do the best I can, and I hope to be the best student I can be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this treatment is the element that I feel like is given to us as kind of our, I don't know, like this physical thing that we can do, but the result is so non-physical that it sort of defies our understanding of this thing about, you know, like for every action there is a reaction, and for every, you know, thing that we do there is a consequence, and, you know, for every treatment there is a result. But the result sometimes is so far-reaching and so non-physical that it's difficult for us to see it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to put your finger on it. And sometimes it's sacred. What's happening is sacred, I find.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, well, what has treatment given you? Sometimes it feels like I can't even put words on, or I don't want to necessarily reveal everything that it's giving me.
Mm-hmm. Which is a beautiful thing to remember, because I think that in our age of technology and information, people have a, you know, information has become a kind of god. And it seems like we must, if we have any information about anyone, we must give it out. And I find that it takes away this gift of self-discovery, of, you know, them coming to a place of their own. And so perhaps your gift is that you allow people to just be in them, in their own space, without needing to meet someone else's expectations.
Mm-hmm. I do my best not to get in the way, and not to invite people to tell, to make their own stories, and not to listen to mine.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, Karen, if you can imagine, this is, we're running out of time now.
Okay.
Is there any last words that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Just to always be open to surprises, and to realize that when you say, I'm ready, that the world may come knocking at your door.
Uh-huh.
And that the very fact, I'm not advertising or doing anything, but these two women found my name on the Reiki Alliance website, and here they are. And so people will find their way to you. When it's time,
uh-huh.
and things will happen in their own time, but yeah, just to be open to surprises,
uh-huh.
and new learning.
Yes, wonderful words of advice. Thanks, Karen, for
thank you
for your time and your energy and your sharing.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Okay,
and thank you, listeners. And the next time that you are treating yourself or treating someone else, you have lots of questions to ask yourself. So this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.